The weather during this past week has offered some interesting opportunities to appreciate sunlight and shadows. The clouds move across the sun, our closest star, blanketing everything with diffused light, muted, less sharp. The winds blow again, and suddenly there is bright sunlight, crisp edges, shadows appearing, angled away from the sun, adding perspective and contrast. And then the clouds return, sunshine fades, shadows melt, everything following the laws of light and refraction, first described by Alhazen of Basra over 1,000 years ago. Alhazen would have had a different relationship with the sun than my ancestors did. Part of my family came from Germany, and about 3/4 of my family came from Scotland and England, where long, long ago, enormous stone structures were created with careful precision so that the light of the summer and winter solstice and other seasonal holy days was marked and celebrated. Clear, sunny days are rare in Scotland. On our recent long-awaited trip there, one local joked that they have about 15 clear days a year, and we were there for a handful of them. Each sunny day is worthy of taking some time out from original plans when it is often overcast and rainy. And people filled the parks, and there were spontaneous picnics and a sense of joy and playfulness. The presence of the sun was powerful, made more noticeable because of its more common absence.
Alhazen would likely have had a different kind of respect for the sun. Respect for the power of heat and light that comes from living in a region of the Middle East where those who can often seek protection from the intensity of the bright rays of the sun, especially in the heat of summer. The same amazing sun, yet different relationships to it. Alhazen may have known deep in his bones that there can be such a thing as too much sun. Each year we can revel in the lengthening days, in the warmth and light and longer growing times. But what if the solstice didn't arrive? What if that important turning point in the Earth's circle around the sun didn't occur and the days just kept getting longer and longer, while those in the southern hemisphere had less and less light? Remember what January felt like? It was cold. Nights were long. It was cold. It was beautiful. And it was dark, a lot. And we held on to the hope that June would eventually arrive. We need both shine and shadow, though, because with too much light or too much darkness, life ceases. This amazing planet supports life because it has polar ice caps and the tropics. It has deserts and mountains, plains and vast oceans. The Earth isn't an either-or planet where you can have either winter or summer. Even the coldest and the most distant places have light and darkness at some point. Spring and fall arrive everywhere in its own way, different flavors and shades and shine. We get to experience the beautiful light of day and the lovely dark of night, all in its own particularities.
As human beings, we need both shine and shadow. Author J.M. Barrie wrote a story about a boy who lost his shadow and who knew his shadow was important, so he went looking for it. You may be familiar with the story of Peter Pan. In the beginning of the book, Peter's shadow was accidentally cut off when a window was closed on it. His shadow is found by a grown-up who knew enough to carefully fold it and set it where it might be found. In community, in congregations, in families, sometimes our shadows show up. They are part of who we are, not all of who we are. Sometimes, in fact, though, they are all that we get to see of one another. Like Mrs. Darling finding Peter Pan's shadow without ever seeing the fullness of him. And when we are lucky, when we are truly lucky, if others find our shadow, they do not step on it or crumple it up, but rather make sure that we get it back, because it is ours to live with, to respond to learn from. Peter goes back looking for his shadow and brings Tinkerbell to help him. They find his shadow, and his new friend, Wendy, sews it back on for him. And then he is ever so happy, for he feels whole, and he and his shadow can fly and dance and move together again. One of the ways I used to celebrate the sunshine when I ran a daycare was to make shadow creatures. To make a shadow creature, you need a sunny spot on a sidewalk or pavement. You need a friend and a piece of chalk. First, you turn so that you can see your shadow in front of you. It'll be shorter or taller depending on the time of day and when the sun is where the sun is in the sky, and where you live and what season it is. Then you squat down or reach up high, play around with your body and your shadow until the shape you're making looks fabulously fun. Then you ask your friend to outline your shadow with chalk. You can add a face or spikes or wings. It's your shadow creature. Sometimes we gave them names or made up stories about them. There's some chalk outside if you feel inspired to create a shadow creature, or just draw with chalk and enjoy the sunshine after the service. Earlier this morning, we heard the words of poet Brian Turner. Turner served for 7 years in the U.S. Army and was deployed to Iraq in 2000. His poems speak to the vast capacity of human beings to do harm, as well as to be kind. To notice what is beautiful and to act out of love. If given the chance to talk with Alhazen, a mathematician, astronomer, a physicist, who was born in Iraq in 965, he wouldn't most want to know how it felt to first understand how light bends, how seeing occurs in our brains as much as in our eyes. You see, Alhazen also wrote about philosophy and theology. If given the chance to sit and have tea with this brilliant man, the poet would ask first about the light within us. Does it shine from within like the sun? Or is it a reflection like the moon?
Sometimes we find ourselves shining like the sun. Life is going well. There's beauty. We have much to celebrate. Maybe the kids or the parents are doing all right. And sometimes we find ourselves in the shadows, wondering about life's purpose, going quiet and looking within. Or maybe we're struggling to find our bearings. Sometimes the light is shining on us too brightly and we can't see. Ego perhaps has gotten in the way, or an overindulgence of some sort throws us out of the harmony with the earth of which Joseph spoke. Sometimes we serve behind the scenes, caring for those who are often marginalized, moving with humility in the shadows, centering the voices of others. What is the light within you? How might the wounds, the cracks of our vessel, allow our light to shine more brightly? Who do we need to be to allow the clarity that light can bring in? How might we welcome the fullness of another's light to shine more beautifully? How might we be curious about our shadows and gentle with the shadows of one another? How might the darkness and the quiet and the hidden places in us bring their own beautiful clarity and insight? How might we play with the shadows to see what creatures may emerge? The metaphor of light is often assumed to be good, while the metaphor of dark is often assumed as bad. Look at most of our literature, much of reality TV or not so reality TV, because reality actually is that we need both light and dark. Both are a blessing, and both can be a curse. Light and darkness are not inherently better or worse than one another. They simply are. And we need to be careful with our words, the metaphors that we use, the cautious connection between light and dark, and the ways in which we notice how race plays out in our country. Like the burning bush in the story of Moses of the Jewish scriptures, how are we meant to be inspired by the light trying to get our attention, burning yet not consumed, calling us to serve, to let ourselves be known? How might we use our individual and collective light to make visible the injustice and harm that is being done? How might we provide the square and the circle and the triangles and the ovals and the octagons and all kinds of other shapes to allow for the darkness of quiet, the reflection of awareness? The General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations, often known as GAUUA, has gathered this week in Spokane, Washington. There have been business sessions and workshops, worship and rituals, the Ware Lecture, and this morning, or 1 o'clock our time, will be their service, their Sunday morning service. There has also been white fragility, and there has been solidarity and transformation. There has been the presence of the characteristics of white supremacy culture and the courage to name it and to disrupt it. As UUA President, the Reverend Susan Frederick Gray says, this is no time for a casual faith. The world needs us to practice our principles, to live our values out loud, to interrupt the harmful and dangerous rhetoric of fear, to heal and transform racism and other forms of oppression in ourselves, our congregations, our communities, and in the world. As we celebrate the summer solstice, World Pride, and General Assembly, we know that the government of this nation is doing terrible things. Terrible things. To people at the southern border and in cities who are trying to provide sanctuary all over this country. As we gather, totalitarianism is growing more obvious and in some ways, in some places, quite strong. And we face climate catastrophes every day. Reverend Gray, Frederick Gray, last night said, change won't come. We have to actually create the change that we have been waiting for. We must be the change, as Gandhi said. So let us shine our light where we can. Rest and recharge and go deep in the shadows, too. We've got a long road in front of us. The world is calling for us to do and be good in the world, to be joy and whole and healing in the world, to be broken and beautiful in the world. Let us make sure to make space for celebration, for the hard work, for the rest, for the drumming and dancing and singing, and for the quiet reflection and prayer. Let us make space to share our stories with one another, listening deeply, for the precious gift that they are. Let us make the decisions that are hard, but we know are right, with care and compassion. Let us have the hard conversations. Let us apologize to one another when we make mistakes. Let us protect our children. Our children are our children. The whole world's children are our children. Let us dismantle white supremacy culture, moment by moment. Let us vote. Let us teach our children and teach our parents and teach ourselves to love and to love and to love the hell right out of this world. May we have the courage to make it so. Salam, shalom, ashe, aho, namaste, amen, and blessed be.